Good morning.
I do want to clarify something. Michelle is not my assistant. She actually is about to graduate herself from third year. She's been interning with Sarah, who was with me last time, who was my revival pastor in second year. So, but because she's in third year, there was a lot more that she didn't have to. Like, her stuff wasn't mandatory. She's only technically missing one day of school. So, but I'm really glad she's here with me. I told her, give me the sign if you want to add something. But so we all know God doesn't really give me a lot until the morning of. It always happens, which is cool because it's so not about me. But I realized that the biggest thing that he's been putting on my heart is Jesus' friend, right? And but I also feel like there's so many of you guys that were here last night who loved that last night. Yeah. And there were so many healings and people activated and stepping into who they are. Are any of those people that got healed last night here today? Yeah. Raise your hand, please. Yeah. Oh, I me too. I forgot. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but activating everybody else, you know, it wasn't Jenna came and healed people. No, you know, activating all of you guys and stepping into who you guys are and what you carry. And it was really beautiful. She's not here tonight, but Kelly, who is, you guys know Scott and Christina. It's Scott's sister, who also, her other sister is who moved down to Reading with me and has been my best friend for a couple years. But she last night, she's been so afraid for so long to be who she is and to let people know what the Lord shows her. And so what she did last night literally just like split the atmosphere. And I just saw a lot of other people realize, oh, it's okay to do that, you know? And so I feel like I want to start with just a couple things the Lord showed me this morning. But I kind of want to do some of that again, some activation about, you know, activating you guys. Because I feel like this should be a weekly thing, you know, even when we're not here. Like, I also saw a lot of you guys when we were here last time, we did a prophetic boost. Now, I don't know if I should probably bust this out, but I'm gonna. But all morning during worship, I saw this room set up for the prophetic booths. And so I'm thinking a lot of you guys are really getting activated and realizing that you walk in the walk in the prophetic, you know, because everybody does. Everybody can hear the Lord. Everybody can, right? And there's a big difference between being called to be a prophet of a church and walking in the prophetic, which everybody does. And so as that's getting activated, I literally could see Evangel having, you know, like once a month or something, prophetic booths where the community comes in and you guys are the ones doing it, you know, because it doesn't just raise the faith of who is receiving it. I mean, what that does when you have somebody sit in front of you and you're like, okay, Lord, what do you have for this person? And you might see a red wagon and you have no idea why, but you're like, I'm not sure why, but I'm seeing a red wagon. And they're like, oh my gosh, the Lord told me when I was 7 that I was going to, you know, like, it just wrecks you. You're like, oh my gosh. And then you start to realize your own precision. I can't talk, Lord. Please unbind my mind. I can't even talk. I don't know what the heck is happening right now. But anyways, but I want to start with Jesus' friend because that's when it becomes fun. It is not a have to. It is a I get to, right? And there was a couple really key times in my life when I was unaware of that. And they're kind of funny. And one of the things that I really believe in is the power of the testimony. And when you're sitting there and you hear something that a totally normal person wants, okay, I might not be completely normal, but a random person, you know, had their moment of, oh my gosh, and realizing, you know, what God can do, that you're like, wow, he can do that for me too, you know? So, One of the things that I did not understand the concept of Jesus as friend. You hear it, you know the scripture. We were looking it up this morning about I no longer call you slaves, but I call you my friend, right? I'm not one that retains info like that. Like, I know the word, you know, but my idea of knowing the word is more like if somebody is preaching and they quote scripture, I usually know it, can quote it with them. But I could read the Bible from front to back and not tell you anything that I read because of the way that I retain. But if I see it and I hear it, then I can repeat it word for word. I can tell you what they were wearing. I can tell you what kind of watch they had. Like, it's just how I learn. But I didn't understand that, because what does that look like in everyday life? You think slaves, right? You think slaves, right? So I remember after I graduated Mountain Ministries and I was living at House of Myrrh, doing heart changes, 29 of them in 9 months. Man, I was not a friend. I was a slave, but I put myself in that position and I didn't know it, you know, because when you've spent your life horrible, right? Regardless of what happened to you, and then you're making horrible choices yourself, you know, and you believe that you're the worst thing on the planet, you hate yourself, you're completely orphan, broken, poverty mindsets. I didn't realize how much I was clearly operating in the gifts, but so broken underneath, and I had no clue. Because now when I pray for people, demons leave. When I pray for people, things happen. And everybody under the sun wants to be around me and wants to spend 5 minutes with me. And I'm literally looking at it. I'm just really glad I have a bed to sleep in. I'm just really happy to be on the team, right? Because now when I knew that this was solid. But I had no idea how much, because of what was happening here, that I believe that's what made me solid here. That because of what I was doing in ministry, that I was good now, right? I had a purpose, right? I had a purpose and I had a call. And so when I started, no, not yet, hold on. So I had a friend, actually, it was Scott, said, you know, one day you're gonna tell Jesus that you're awesome. I got really mad. Like, and I, you guys may not know this, but I can get really mad. And I can shut down, like, shut down with a quickness, right? And when you're an atmosphere shifter, that works two ways. That's no joke. And I remember for 2 weeks, it was an argument. And I'm like, because in my mind, I didn't realize how I saw God, that that wasn't the way God wanted me to see him. I saw God as a guy with a white beard, with a lightning bolt in one hand and the Ten Commandments in the other, in the clouds waiting to condemn me for every bad thought I had. And I saw Jesus as this like majestic majesty that sat on a diamond encrusted throne that I couldn't even raise my head up to look at, you know, that I was just like completely scared to death and timid, you know. And so for 2 weeks, it was just argument, because I literally would picture in my mind standing before this massive throne, scared to death. And the last thing that you're thinking is you're going to look at God and go, I'm awesome, right? That's what I would picture in my mind. And to me, that was the most prideful, arrogant, self-absorbed thing ever, is to think that you're awesome, right? And so I just remember it was quite the bone of contention. And then finally, I got mad and I said, do you know what I see when you say that? Do you know what I see? I see like totally being scared to death and crawling up these stairs to this diamond encrusted throne. And the last thing I'm thinking is I'm awesome. And I just remember him going, okay, well, you know what? When I think of it, I think about my daughter, Saren. And when she gets up on my lap and she's going like this and she's like, Daddy, I'm awesome. Oh man, something in that like really shifted my thought process, because that is just not how I saw it at all. So the seeds were planted in that moment, but I was nowhere near telling God that I was awesome. And so when I get to first year and my pastor says to me, you need to learn how to receive, and I think you need to go into a season of laying down your sword. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly right. Man, I remember feeling sheer panic. And in my mind, my thought process immediately was, without my sword, I'm just the girl 9 months out of rehab. Without my sword, I'm the chick that had her kids living in a storage unit because she spent the money on drugs. You know, without my sword, I'm nothing. And so when I realized that's probably not the Lord's heart for me and probably not how he wants me to think, I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this looks like, but I say yes. So, okay. Now, mind you, at the time that I choose to do this and let the Lord strip me, because that is exactly what first year is stripping off everything you think and getting to your true raw identity, which is him. And I didn't realize how much my identity was completely in my gifts, right? But I'm also perfect proof that you don't earn your gifts, right? They exploded in rehab. I guarantee you, I was in no state of mind to own or say, I'm doing so good that I have these amazing gifts. No, they blew up in rehab. It literally felt like, okay, let's keep it real. I see with the naked eye. I don't know if you guys know that. So when you're in a house with 30 women coming out of drugs and prostitution, that's a lot. When you are extremely broken. And so I do walk in a crazy level of intimacy with the Lord, but a lot of it started from learning to survive my own gifts. That is no joke. And it literally felt like God dropped me in the center of the ocean and said, keep your eyes on me and swim to the side, you'll make it. You know, that's exactly what it felt like. So it was easy to fall into that place of operating in just the gifts because now people liked me, right? Now people didn't think I was the worst thing on the planet. And so literally thrust it on a stage that wasn't built yet. So when it comes time to strip that all away, when now people like you and you're not alone and you know you pray for people, stuff happens, to say no to that when it's the first time you've not hated yourself in your whole life is really hard. So I decide, okay, I'm going to hide my gifts, right? And I did. But at the same time, I only saw demonic for 2 years. I didn't start seeing angelic until I moved to Reading. So at the same time that I'm laying down everything about me that's supernatural, it's exploding, right? And I'm hiding it all, and it was not fun at all. In fact, poor Holly, that girl has like a free pass in my life forever because what that girl, we shared a room, and what that girl has been through with me is crazy. But it wasn't until... I mean, so much happened in between, but I remember a friend saying, I was so close to getting this breakthrough. I knew I was close. I knew that I tend to be one of those that I'd like try 15 different ways, but then once something is said in the right way, it clicks and then it goes, right? And I remember a friend said, you know, I think I understand what might work for you. And it was about how he would take his daughter and have a book, and all he wanted was this moment to read this book with his daughter, right? And he was just so excited about the moment, but yet she kept flying off the sofa going, Daddy, look what I can do. I can do a somersault, and I can spin around, and I can do this. And he's like, stop. I just want to have this moment with you. Get your blankie. Let's snuggle right here, right? And for some reason, that analogy worked for me because that's exactly what I was doing. The Lord was trying to show me how much he just wanted this moment. But I was literally jumping out into, look what I can do, look what I can do, look what I can do. I can pray for this person, and I can run myself into the ministry, and I can do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not eat and not sleep, and look what I can do. You know, and that's so, like, Stewie. Oh, that's probably not a really, that's so how I was. But I didn't realize that that is not what his heart was for me, and how much deep down inside I was trying to earn the fact, earn my amazing life, because I didn't understand. Here's my life just exploding, and I felt like I had to do something in order to earn it, you know? So that was September, October, November, December, January, which when you're in the fire like that, that's a long time. That is a very long time. And then someone named Randy Clark came to town, and I'd never heard of him, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with him or not, but he's one of those people that you know, he walks in the Civic with 2,000-3,000 people in there, and about 3/4 of the people just fall out and are wrecked for days. It just is that way. It's just the anointing that he carries. But Randy Clark came to town, and I remember Holly and I were on the very top part because it was just stacked. Like, you couldn't even breathe in that place. And I did not know that I had fallen out in the spirit until I was coming out. And I am not a small girl. And I fell forward. I don't even know how I survived that, but I did. And of course, Holly watched it happen. And best thing she ever saw in her life, you know. And I can't even imagine what that looked like. But anyways, this moment changed my life forever. And the Lord took me into the most amazing vision. And I don't know if I've shared it here or not, but I think it just really goes with what I'm going after. So if I've shared it, I'll share it again. It kind of looked like the field in the movie Braveheart with a lot of green and a stone cottage. And this warrior woman is on this horse. And she's so victorious and won the battle, like just kicked major butt. Like, I could totally feel her, you know, just so victorious, right? And she slides off the horse and she goes walking towards the cottage. And Jesus opens up the door and says, "Leave your armor outside right now. I just want to love you." And he gives her soup and he runs a bath and he rubs her feet. Well, then it starts over again. And this time she's not victorious, but not defeated, just kind of discouraged. And she slides off the horse. She goes to the cottage. Jesus opens the door and says, "Leave your armor outside right now. I just want to love you." Gives her soup, runs a bath, rubs her feet. But the third time it was me. It wasn't third person anymore. And I was so defeated. It literally felt like men died, raw carnage, like just the heaviness of pure defeat and failure. And it was not fun. And I slide off the horse and I walk and I'm watching my hand go to open the door of the stone cottage. And Jesus opens the door and he says, "Leave your armor outside right now. I just want to love you." And he gives me soup, runs a bath. And while he's rubbing my feet, he says, "My love for you is not contingent on the battle. If you never pray for another person, if you never do another deliverance, this right here is what matters to me." And everything that I had been trying to learn in my head flooded to my heart. And in one fell swoop, everything that I had been doing up to that point changed from "I need to do this in order to be close to God" to "I get to do this completely partnered with him." And when it flooded, it went into everything in my behaviors and my thought processes, how I received everything changed. So from that point on, I learned that there was so much more about me than just the seer part. Like, before, I was so known for that, and that was a big part, but there was so much in there that I learned with him as a friend and had a blast with it. And I learned it was also okay to love it and to like it. And I just remember, real, you know, a lot of times the Lord will show me stuff by identifying how off my thought process is. And I remember one time I learned that I could, this is interesting. There are some really weird things that happened with me. But I realized through this crazy fluke that I sometimes can hear people's souls sing. And I had prayed for this guy from Tonga who had been a missionary with some Aborigines. And the guy just got, like, there had been so much witchcraft and curses on him. And he got so much freedom. Like, the guy got completely wrecked. It was so beautiful. And so afterwards, he's like, "Can I just sit by you and hold your hand?" And his wife's looking at him, and but it was totally not weird. And he just sat there, and I could just tell that after all the garbage had left, like, he was just really getting filled with the love of the Lord, right? And I'm sitting there, and I could hear this song that I hadn't heard since, like, Sunday school when I was, like, 4. And it was, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I kept hearing this song. And I was hearing it like I'm listening to speakers in a room, not like in my head, like I'm hearing it like it's coming in through my ears. And I'm going, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm trying to figure it out, you know? And then my buddy Matt goes, what? And I go, nothing. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Like, it's tripping me out. I never even heard of that. I never even heard of such a thing. And so finally, I just said, okay, I'm the girl that preaches about jumping on risk. And I go, I say the guy's name, and I said, can I ask you a question? I go, I don't know if you've ever heard of this song or not. I go, but I literally right now am hearing the song, the joy of the, and he goes, oh, shut up. And he's just freaking out. And he goes, that's the first song I ever learned when I moved from Tonga to wherever. And he's like, I learned it when I was a little boy. And he goes, I'm sitting here and that's what I'm singing as the Lord is filling me up. I'm singing that in my head right now. And I'm going, I don't know how, but I hear it. Like, I'm hearing this, you know? And so in that moment, I'm like, okay, Lord, I knew I was weird, but that's just weird. So I'm, you know, I always have to process everything, you know, figure it out and get it all chronologically ordered in my mind. And when I went to go home, my buddy Matt goes, do you ever just say to God, that was really cool? I said, no. He's like, Jenna, that's just cool. I'm like, no, it's for the purpose. The Lord let me hear that because it was something he was doing for him and in his life, and God wanted to show him how much he heard him and cared about his heart. And he goes, Jenna, it's still cool. I'm like, no. Okay, anyways, whatever, right? I can get a little attitude. And so later that night, the Lord's like, you know, it is cool. And I'm like, what do I do with that? You know? Okay, it's cool. But it's not like I'm going to go tell people it's cool. You know? Like the concept that it was okay to love what I get to do was so far off my grid. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's that old religious mindset of you need to suffer for Christ, right? So I was afraid to let people know I was having a blast doing what I was doing. Even casting out demons. Like, that's the best thing ever. Not the dark part. I don't care about that part. Seeing people get wrecked with the love of Jesus as he floods the area that was in bondage before. And what people do. Oh, that's the best thing ever, right? I love it. So anyways, my journey of Jesus's friend, and that I get to do stuff, and that it's fun, and that it's okay, and it's cool, right, has been a blast. It's been a journey, and it's amazing how much of my own religious mindsets I had to break out of, you know? And so I remember when I came up here, it's one thing when you're on Venice Beach and talking to, you know, sorcerers and all kinds of crazy people. And, you know, it's one thing when you're down there doing that, but I'd never until this conference, or the first conference I did here, I'd never just, like, been on stage and called out words of knowledge. And this guy was wrecking my life behind the scenes of that conference because I was nowhere ready to believe it was okay to have fun with it. And he just kept going, have fun. And I still had a mindset of what it was supposed to look like. And I remember that day about halfway through looking at you going, this is so fun, you know? And then it just, something broke in that. And that's what I want for you guys, you know? There's so, all of us, everybody has got amazing gifts. And it's okay to walk in them, and it's okay to have fun with them. And we're not cool because we have gifts. We're just cool because God said so, right? And so what is it like? It's fun and it's exciting to be like, okay, Lord, what is in me? Usually it's what you're afraid of. Mm-hmm. If you are scared to death to get behind a microphone, Michelle once was, that changed, right? It's because you're called to it, right? If you are so freaked out when people pray in tongues, you're probably a tongue interpreter, right? And there's a lot of you guys in this room that don't even know it, right? Love that. If the idea that God is still healing people completely weirds you out, you're probably meant to be praying for people, and you're probably going to end up getting wrecked yourself by praying somebody with like a broken leg and then they dance out of the church, right? And it'll change your life, but it takes one moment with your friend up there, who I now every day tell him how awesome I am, and we laugh about it. We laugh about how in bondage I used to be about it. It takes one moment to be like, I wonder if every time I look at the lady in the pink shirt back there and I just keep seeing beautiful flower pots, if I tell her that, I wonder if that means anything to her. Maybe not, but what if it does, right? What if it does? What if it's like, oh, well, I'm not speaking for you, but what if it's like, oh, I learned about Jesus when I used to sit out back with my grandma in garden, and I used to dream that when I was older that I would speak to nations. Maybe I should do that. You know, you never know what's going to come out of it, but it takes one moment. You know, walking through Walmart keeps coming up a lot, actually. Walking through Walmart, and like Jeff did, you know, seeing somebody limping or hurting or whatever and be like, I wonder, what if I, just me and Jesus, just straight kicking it, walking through Walmart right now, or just walk up to somebody and pray for them, and they're completely out of pain, right? There's so much that you guys are, that's unlocked, that you just need to step into. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to have your life absolutely right, and every single thought that you have is perfect and aligned with heaven. Therefore, now you can step forward and you can heal the sick. No, you know what? Do you know how many people I have seen loaded on heroin and we pray for them, and first they're mad that they're not high anymore, but then they get saved, right? And then like 30 seconds later, they're out praying for people and other people are getting saved. Like I shared a testimony last night about a guy that I prayed for on Skid Row with a twisted hip that did not want me to pray for him. He was so irritated, and I was just talking a lot of smack to him. I'm like, I'm gonna pray for you anyways, right? And then the guy gets wrecked, and next thing you know, he drops his crutches running up and down Skid Row dancing, right? And then the whole time we're on Skid Row, he's going and getting people and bringing them to us, right? He turned into an evangelist himself, you know? It's seriously. And so what does that look like, you know? So that's what I want to do today. I don't want everybody to, I know it's Sunday morning. I don't want everybody to stay in their spots. No, I want to be interactive, and I want people to be like, hey, you know what? Every Sunday I come to church and I notice you and I don't know why. Let's talk about it, right? The other thing I want to go after is there some of you guys that come to church and come every Sunday and you don't feel seen and you don't feel known, and you think that people don't want to know you or hear you or care what you have to say. And the Lord's going, no, it's a lie. It's a lie, but sometimes our self-protection to not get hurt keeps us from walking up to a group of people that are already talking and being like, hey, you know what? I want to know you and I want to be known by you. What's stopping you, right? I used to be that person. And now what's funny is what the Lord did to me directly, I use with other people all the time. I used to run, I can't believe I'm going to say this from this stage. I used to run everything through the fat filter. I used to believe that I would never be on stage, that I wouldn't have friends, that my weight disqualified me from everything, right? And now I'm working on my weight. It's the next thing to reflect what God's done on the inside. And I knew it was going to come into play, and now I'm on this crazy health journey, right? But I used to believe to my core, right? And I think I was in second year. Yeah, I was in second year. Oh, I remember. I was getting ready to go to Florida. And I was scared to death about the plane. About what if I get there and I'm not going to fit in a chair. That's really vulnerable for me to share right now. Right? And then the Lord's like, I have you. I have you. What's funny is we go and I'm the only person that ended up getting upgraded. Because of something to do with the seats. Like it was some random crazy reason. And I was just like, okay, Lord, I still said yes even though I was scared to death. And he prepared the way, right? Well, after that, I was like, wow, Lord, that was crazy that you did that. And then one day he goes, when was the last time anybody walked up to you and told you that you weren't beautiful? Never. When was the last time somebody told you that you couldn't speak on stage? Never. Just because I had a crazy meltdown at Heart Change because I had to say my name and where I was from in a microphone and I cussed everybody out and tried to leave. For real, that happened. I've changed a lot. When was the last time that somebody told you that they didn't want to hear what you had to say? And I realized I full on believed that when people would be like, you talk too much, you talk too loud, you talk a mile a minute. Get to the point, Jenna, because I'm really detailed. And the Lord just went through all of these questions with me, and I realized my answer was never. And finally he goes, okay, so who are you listening to? Oh, snap. Like, that's intense, okay? And then he's like, okay, but what do people say about you? Because you're really quick to replay in your mind everything that you assume. But when was the last time you replayed all the wonderful things people say about you? Jenna, I want to hear what you have to say. Like, Holly still cracks jokes. You guys, there was a time when it was pulling teeth to get me to minister to people. That, of course, has changed to the point where I forgot that that existed, but she was teasing me about it the other day. And, you know, it's like people, oh my gosh, Jenna, I love your heart. I love your heart for others. You know, like the big one now is that, like, I come alive on Skid Row. It's my favorite thing ever, and I get ridiculous. And my spirit becomes like a bulldozer. Like, I'm even aware of it, you know? And I come alive in the weirdest places, but I love it, you know? And so it's like, how often do we replay that? And so for the people that come here and have these mindsets about what they think other people's are, or because they haven't come and talked to you first, or people aren't reaching out to you first, ask yourself, am I approachable? Is my spirit open? Has my self-protection become walls? Am I not seen because I'm not allowing myself to be seen? You know? Because I guarantee you, in this church, it isn't because people don't like you. It isn't because people don't want to know you. It's how much is my self-protection. So I just want to challenge, I'm not going to call nobody out for that, but I just challenge you, wow, Lord, am I not connected at church because I'm not allowing myself to be? You know, I'm just asking you to talk to the Lord about it, that's all. So, Michelle, I know you want to share something. Have you gone to the bathroom? I love how many nicknames she picked up after last time.
Pee Pants being one of them.
Love it.
I guess as Jenna was talking, I kept thinking about the story of Joseph and him being in, you know, cast into the pit from his brothers and, I don't know, you guys probably know the story of Joseph, but and being successful in the jail cell. And I think a lot of that, his success was because he was a friend of God. Because when you're in friendship, anything that you do, like, it doesn't matter your circumstance. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm with my friend. It doesn't matter. And I think that was his take on it. So I was reminded of that story. And the other thing I was thinking of, or that came to mind, it was actually when they were calling out words and giving prophetic words, there was, I felt like there was a group of people in here that feel like you are, how do I want to put it, like crippled, almost like you got a leg chopped off, but only in the spirit, I guess you could say. But I felt like what you don't see around you is the people that would put you on the mat and hoist you down through the roof just to be with Jesus. So I don't know if... I'm going to call you out because if that's something that, like, you just feel like you got a limp or you don't feel like you belong, I want you to stand up and be brave and realize that the people around you that actually want to be that, those people to put you on the mat, to hoist you down to Jesus, to be touched by Jesus, that's to so no good. Longer be crippled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody else? Yeah.
Ooh, yes. So good.
Yeah. So church, the people around that aren't standing, you're the church, right? So let's get the mats and let's put our hands on them and bring them to Jesus. Yeah, so Father God, I just thank you right now that you have surrounded us with people that are our friends that can hoist us down to you right where you are. God, I ask that you would meet them right where they are right now. Would you show them how present you are, that you don't look at them like they have a limp, that they're not missing a leg, because right now, Jesus, you are filling them full and you are restoring them to who you created them to be. So I just speak to your spirits and I say, you are full, you are enough. You are so enough. And you are welcome here. You are so welcome here, and the people around you love you. Yeah. So I speak to your spirits and I say, awaken, awaken with new joy, awaken with new hope. Awaken. Yeah, I just want you guys that are around them, I want you to just give them some prophetic words right now. Whatever the Lord is speaking, I want you to speak to their hearts.
In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you is all I need. You're my breath, my life, my everything. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you all I need. My breath, my life, my everything.
Hope everybody in this room will have a good life in the day of their life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. In you is all I need. You're my breath, my life, my everything. In you is all I need. My breath, my life, my everything. In you.
Yeah, so I just want you guys to finish blessing these people. Can we just give them a hand for stepping out and being brave? Because that's really what it's about. This is church is lifting each other up. We're supposed to lift each other up and build each other up. And I believe that it's an amazing thing when we get to do it. And you guys, you're so worth the time. You're so worth the time being spent on you. Yeah. You want to call people up? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to call some people. You over here, can you come up in this? Yeah. Yep. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. What's your name? Terry. Okay. And then, you're in red in the back. Yep, sitting down. Yep, the short hair right there. Yeah, you. There you go. Come on up here.
Jeff, twin, you too. Let's see who else. The yellow shirt back there. Yep.
You just got prayed for. You're in the hat with the shirt hugging the lady in the red. Jason, I'm going to have you come up here as well. I wish I knew everybody's names.
We will. We know our family. We just don't know everybody's names. Okay, so for the people up front, I want you guys to just take a minute, drown everybody out, connect to the Lord, and ask him to reveal to you a body part. Appropriate. And we're going to go after words of knowledge and for healing. And just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you wanting to heal in this room today? We'll give you guys a couple seconds. And it might be that the Lord reveals to you a specific person and not what needs to get healed, but just to pray for them specifically. Just ask the Lord what he's showing you. Start this way. You got something? No pressure.
Be the heart. That's for my wife.
Oh, you are not done. Oh. You are not finished, buddy. So, pray.
Lord, I just ask you to help my wife with her heart to heal anything from the past that she's dealt with, to help me be her strength, to be able to show how much I love her and care for her, and be able to help her rebuild and repair what's been damaged.
It's beautiful. Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
Good job. Yes. Jesus.
I don't really have anything.
You want to give me another minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have some?
I think I might.
I think you do. So good.
I don't know who it's for. It's a knee problem. The knee keeps going out. Like.
So good.
Okay.
Yes.
Pray for that knee.
Yeah. Great. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've made this body.
Yes.
We praise you. And we ask, Lord, that you would heal the ligaments, the tendons, every part of her knee, Lord. And where it goes out, Lord, I ask for strength in that part, that it would just become stronger and stronger. Thank you. Praise you, Lord.
Colleen, do you have carpal tunnel by chance? Or do you have pain in your wrists? Okay. Does anyone have carpal tunnel as well? I want to say, I was thinking like left or right, but carpal tunnel.
Either.
All right. And it doesn't matter if you have carpal tunnel. All right. Just, or the pain in the wrist. I, I say carpal tunnel as, I mean, the blanket of pain in your wrists. So that was how many, so we got people. So we'll just do it. Okay. So God, right now, we just release your healing power into all these wrists. You wouldn't bring it up and highlight it if you didn't want to do something about it. And so we just say thank you so much for your love for us and for your love to heal these wrists. Thank you, God. Did anyone feel heat in their wrists or any change in the pain or discomfort? If you did, would you raise a hand? If there's any change in anything? All right, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you. We just release your healing into their wrists right now. We command pain to leave in Jesus' name. Pain, you have no place in their wrists. Arthritis, be gone in Jesus' name. Tendonitis, be gone in Jesus' name. Carpal tunnel inflammation, be gone in Jesus' name. Is there any changes? Has anyone got any changes in their pain level? All right. What did we? Yeah, we got one with change. Go God. Yeah. So cool. Thank you.
So this is something that the Lord spoke to me about earlier this week, and he keeps bringing it back today several times. And it's not so much a body part as it is a wounded spirit. And the scripture that he took me to was that scripture where Jesus is sitting and talking to the disciples, and someone comes and brings children to him. And he wants to bless them, pray over them, but the disciples are wanting to swish them away. And a lot of times we look at that in the physical, but there's two people that are in that story. There's the child and there's the man. It talks about it's better that a man that would try to detour a child have a millstone around about his neck and be drowned in the sea than to keep that child from coming to him. And that child is that childlike spirit in each one of us. And the man is that fleshly carnal man that lives in the Adam nature that lives in each one of us. And a lot of times that Adam nature in us wants to rebuke that child and keep it from coming forth. And I found in my own life this past week that there was an area in my childlike spirit that I was listening to a lie about for many years. And the Lord instantly, when he showed me that, broke me free. But I've sensed that this morning, that there's many of you here today that have been listening to lies about who you are as a child of God. And he wants to set you free of that lie. He says in another portion of scripture that he would leave the 99 and go after the one childlike spirit. And so if you're dealing with that today, if you've been listening to a lie about who you are, and you've been wounded in that childlike spirit, I just want you to stand up. I want to pray for you today. So, Father, I thank you right now for each one of these that is standing up. Father, I thank you for your incredible, incredible love for them. And, Father, I want you to go right now to that place in their heart, Lord, in their spirit, where they've been wounded, where there's been a stumbling block that has been laid before them by their own nature, actually. That Adam nature. And Father, remove the plugged ears, Lord God. Unplug the ears of the heart, Lord God, that they can begin to hear the truth about who they are and how much you love them. And Father, that from this day forward, Lord God, that they will be set free in their hearts and in their minds, Lord God, to be children of the living God. Children of the living God who walk freely with their Father, so excited and just ready to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. What do you want to do today? Can I run in the field with you? Can I sit on your lap? What is it that you want to speak to my heart? I just release the truth to them today, Lord. I release the truth, Lord God, in their innermost beings, that they are loved by you and called by your name, Lord God. Thank you, Father.
I kept seeing feet everywhere, all kinds of different feet. Not just human feet, like hooves, and claws, dirty paws, you know? You know, just like the song of Monsters and Men. Good band. Anyway, the word says, it says, how graceful are the feet of those who, you know, carry the gospel, right? That gospel of goodwill toward everyone is not... It's not just your words. It's who you are as a person.
Right.
It's how you treat everyone you interact with, wherever you go, you know? Keep seeing feet. Lately, I've been seeing like a whole bunch of horses just like running around in a circle, like about ready to stampede, you know?
Nice.
Hooves. Horses aren't afraid of anything. They just stomp on snakes. They're like, what snake? It's dead, you know?
Right.
Victorious wherever they're going, you know? Led with the Spirit. If you've ever been around a horse, you know that they don't do anything they don't, unless they want to. I think seeing feet, I'm seeing a flock of people here, you know, flocking together, spreading goodwill. I think that that's something, obviously, in every church that there needs to be more of.
Absolutely.
And you're new creatures in Christ. You're the old has passed away, something new has come. Who knows what it looks like? It could be anything, right? Like figuring out who you are in light of that new creation that you are. And walking, flying, swimming in that. And that goodwill. It's about goodwill toward all men, peace on earth, peace in every step. You spread it wherever you go. You're like a disease carrier or something for the old world, the old order of things. I don't know. That's all I got. I don't know what to do with it.
Blessed, that's their pray over everyone's feet to walk in that, like to really, if especially if you struggle with judgment of others, be like, everywhere I go, Lord, let me see everyone. Everywhere my feet may tread, bless people's feet.
Bless people's feet. All right, I bless your feet in Jesus' name. I don't know what to
do.
Good
job.
There you go.
Good job.
I don't understand what I'm supposed to do.
Did you ask the Lord if to reveal to you like a body part, and I think that you call it out? Okay.
But it's selfishly my own body parts.
That's okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I remember about a year ago here at Evangel, I was asking for prayer for my shoulder, and I have a bad knee, but I had a healing here. I remember Jody was doing the healing prophecy then, and it was just amazing. But the weird thing happened, it was yesterday. I wanted to be part of Castle Rock community because that's where we live, but we're always gone, my wife and I. And I wanted, they were having a work party, and there was like 200 people there and all the scene. And I was so excited. And I went down there, and all of a sudden, my knee hurt worse than it ever has for like 3 or 4 years, and I finally had to tell the lady, I was working at the funeral home just scraping, and I wasn't doing that much with my knee, but it just hurt the worst it has in like 3 years, and I just had to limp home. And then when I woke up this morning, it was healed again.
Yeah, so release that.
Okay, but selfishly, my shoulder is still hurting. Okay.
Yeah, ask if anybody has a bad shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Does anyone have a bad shoulder?
Yes. Stand up if you have a bad shoulder.
Okay, stand up if you have a bad shoulder. And I do want to pray for my wife's hip, because she's a real hip person, but her hip has been hurting. So is there anyone else with a bad hip? Elizabeth, could you stand up? Because I'm... Oh my gosh, so many people standing up. We're just beautiful, broken people.
Yeah, and everybody's going to get healed. It's
gonna be okay, so, okay, I'm going to go pray. Yeah.
No, pray for everybody. Well, I'm not letting you off the
chain. Oh, okay.
Pray for everybody.
Lord, first of all, I believe, we believe here at Evangel. We believe in healing. We believe in the supernatural. We know the Holy Spirit is here. I felt it as soon as, just like Jeff was saying, when Dwayne started worship today, there was something that was unleashed that was like a mighty ocean, or like the river he was talking about. And something special happened today. And it's amazing, Lord, and it started as soon as worship started here. And I just ask you in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's working right now in this room that you would heal these body parts here of these people standing up, whether it be a hip, whether it be a shoulder, whether it be a knee, whether it be a foot, whether it be someone's heart, as that person was sharing about his wife's heart. Or a hip, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would do what you can do, Lord, in the name of Jesus. This is truth. This is truth in the spirit, Lord. It's not unreal. It's real in the supernatural, which a lot of people don't understand. And may these healings be released and then released onto the city and wherever other people are going, Lord. It's not limited to church here on a Sunday. But it's unlimited, Jenna was talking about, whether it's Skid Row, whether it's at Mountain Ministries, where Kelly is still working, and Tad and Connie and Faye and Gary, Lord, we just praise them and what they're doing over there as they're healing. As Mike Williams, my friend from Mountain Ministries, that I've watched his transformation through the years, Lord, I just give you thanks for that, Lord. And I can ramble on, Lord, but you know what needs to be done and doesn't even need to be with words, as we all think and sing together and break bread together and drink the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer and Healer, praise the Lord.
So those of you who are standing, whatever it is that caused pain, or whatever it is that, whatever movement, do that and see if it's gone. Well, test it out. Yeah, because a lot of times the healing comes as you do the thing that caused you pain before. How many of you feel different?
I do.
The guy who prayed? This tingle? So let's pray again. More, Lord. More power. Release more power, Lord Jesus. And then just begin to move your arm or move your hip a little bit. Whatever was causing you pain, test to see if the Lord's doing something. Don't just take it for granted that he's got to knock you onto the ground to prove that he's healing you. He may just actually take away the pain.
So what I was seeing specifically was a back. I would say L3, L4, L5, S1, S2 area.
It's like calculus.
That's lumbar and sacrum area.
the LS1-12-17. It's okay. God still wants to heal you.
Father, you are so good to us. Father, we just want to partner with you right now. Father, your word says that by your stripes we would be healed. So, Father, we're going to stand on that right now, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be released into these lower backs, Lord. Lord, that bones would be renewed. Discs would be, that are bulged or ruptured would be renewed. Nerve pain would be gone, Father. Lord, that these bodies would be restored back to 100%, Lord. Father, I know for a fact that it can be done. And I'm going to stand on that because my back was the same. And you healed my back. And I know you can heal these backs. So I'm going to release the back healing that I received upon you. In Jesus' name. Yes. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So we say to all bones and joints and nerves that is here or even in this city, Lord, because you're bigger than this, that it would all be healed in your name.
Yes.
Lord, that you're so much bigger than what's going on here, Father. And even what we can just think of or even imagine, Lord, even the people we don't know, Lord, that from here, even asking it in your name, it can be healed. So, Lord, we're going to just stand in that and believe and trust on that, Lord.
So good. Nice. God, I love that your word says by your stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Not going to be healed. Not if you do the right thing healed. You are healed. And so, Lord, we just declare that in Jesus' name and we receive it. And we ask that you would continue to just drop your presence and your healing in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So you guys can stay put just wherever you're at. I just want to say tonight we're doing Deep Roots. And God is happening, right? God is happening and there's so much more. We're just barely cracking the seal. Some people want to eat, but Nina, the whole time I've been up here, the Lord, every time I look over there, the Lord keeps showing me a book over your head. And it's so funny because I feel like there's a book in you that needs to be written. And what's funny is what keeps coming to mind is, I don't know if you know who Havilah Cunningham is, but she travels everywhere under the sun, writes books, does stuff. She's hilarious. And she's known for being really real and having four boys. And she has got some hilarious stories of normal everyday life with her four boys that all have very different personalities. But her normal everyday life that sometimes can get mundane, you know, that some people might not consider excitement. She has this amazing ability to take the things that she lives on an everyday basis and just release ridiculousness, right? And I feel like the Lord is saying there is so much in your normal everyday life that's been building for a long time, and he's got a book in you that needs to come out, and it's going to affect millions. So I feel like write the book in Jesus' name. In all your spare time, right? Man, say, okay, Lord, then how about a vacation to Hawaii? Because Havilah also will go away and lock herself in Hawaii in a hotel room to finish her book. So maybe that comes with it, right? All by herself. So I release that too. But write the book. So anyways, I'll let you close, Jeff. I just hope you guys, everybody comes through. I've not been yet. I usually always have to head back to Reading on Sunday after church, and so I'm excited to be here tonight.
Well, Deep Roots is all about going deeper. So I have a feeling that if these two are here tonight, that we're probably not just going to do what we typically do, but probably take a few more risks at going deeper. And so come 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll just spend a couple hours with the Lord together.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to us as a city, as a people, as a geographic region, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness and leading us in a way that would cause us to grow deeper and wider and go higher with you. And we pray, let's pray this with me. We pray, Jesus, that you would be lifted up over the city, that you would be, your name would be lifted up, that your glory would shine above this city, that you would be lifted up above this city, Lord Jesus. You can do whatever you want here on ground level, but we pray in the air that your name would be lifted up and your glory would be lifted up over the city. Say yes to all your plans for us, and especially the plans that you have for us for personal, intimate relationship that goes deeper and deeper and deeper, Lord. We're not going to go higher if we don't go deeper.
That's right.
So let's go. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.